So Jonathan said to me, shot me an email. He shot me an email saying, I want you to think about something. What do you think about changing the name of Meal One to Creatures Oats? And I didn't respond to that email right away because my gut instinct immediately when I read that was, no fucking way.
I'm Michael Chernow, and this is the Creatures of Habit podcast. Our habits will make us or break us. It's just that simple. I've lived on both sides of the tracks and have learned that the decisions we make on a consistent basis truly define who we are as human beings. On this show, I will be interviewing some of the most inspiring, motivating, and high-performing humans I've encountered to share their daily habits, routines, and rituals that help them stay on top of their game and ultimately happy. So sit back, relax, and pay attention, because what you hear over the next 30 to 45 minutes could potentially change your life. Let's go.
What up, podcast community? Welcome back to the Creatures of Habit podcast. Today, we are, I think this is the third or fourth episode of Creatures of Habit. What's really going down? Number four.
Fourth episode, and probably the fourth different way that you've said.
Yeah, right. I'm like, Creatures of Habit, what's really happening? Creatures of Habit, what's really going down? Creatures of Habit, what's good? No, but this one is, we're going to call this Creatures of Habit, what's really happening. And so, you know, we have been taking you guys along over the last 3 months. Now it'll be the fourth month of where the company's going. My co-founder Jonathan and I here, we just opened up the doors for you guys so you can take the journey with us. And it's been fun. We've got a lot of great feedback on it. So thank you guys for firing back feedback. And for those that have listened, you know, shooting the DMs and letting us know that you're stoked about us talking about the biz in this way, fully vulnerable and just out there in the open. When Jonathan showed up to the studio today, I said, you know, the thing that I really do want to talk about, which I think is super important, and we're learning as we're growing, you know, I think, let's see, September, October, November, December, January, February, exactly 2.5 years into, a little under 2.5 years into Creatures of Habit, like 2 years, 5 months, and 2 weeks into Creatures of Habit since its first day of launch. And I think what we're learning, and I think this is not news, but when you're in a startup, if you are waiting for people to tell you do things, to do something, you're failing. It's just that simple. If you are an employee of a startup or a founder of a startup or a co-founder of a startup or an executive of a company and you don't do something until you're told to do it, that is a surefire way to set yourself up for termination. What am I mean by that? If you are not being proactive, meaning, you know, we knew that we needed to hire a new person. So I took it upon myself to go out there and find that person fast. Like, not that I'm going to hire the first person that we meet, but, you know, like, I know that, like, if we need something done at the company, no one else is coming. No one else is doing it. Like Jonathan shows up to most meetings with things that he was not asked to do specifically. He's like, these are the things that I have spent my time doing and I'm presenting them to you. This is how I've thought about it. This is what I think we should do. This is how I think we should execute it. And that is like what it takes, right? So Jonathan has taught me, you know, and he sort of like put it in a nice little box. If you're not proactive, it's not going to work.
Yeah. Yeah, and it doesn't always have to be like a finished product of things. I think a lot of times it's more of just putting a framework of something together that can open up thoughts. Like even, you know, yesterday we had exchanges kind of like on a Google Doc about the website, right? There was like thoughts that I had mapped out around where it could go. And like even looking at them now, like I don't even think they're that good. But like you commented on them, I commented back, and like now the thoughts are flowing on that topic, and like we'll figure out a more refined way to get to a place where we're happy with it, but there needs to be some sort of impetus to like, let's have that conversation, right? Otherwise it kind of sits as is, because you can coast.
You know, there was an amazing piece of content I saw a couple weeks ago, or maybe even late last week, And it was Tony Robbins talking about Steph Curry and how Steph Curry takes 500 practice shots a day, every mm-hmm. single day, and has been for decades. The guy takes 500 practice shots a day, 3,500 shots a month, 40-something thousand shots a year, times 10. That's a lot. Guy's taking like a million practice shots.
Yeah.
But he's only taken like 3,500 shots in his professional career.
Yeah.
Right? Like, think about that. The guy's taken a million practice shots, but he's only put the ball up to the net 3,000-something times in his full career as an NBA All-Star.
Yeah. There's like a similar it's funny because we referenced basketball in episode 2 with Jimmy Butler. But there's a similar clip with Kobe Bryant where he outlines – it's not shots specifically, but it's like if he gets up at 5 a.m. and practices and he already has a practice in before somebody else comes to their only practice of the day and then he's practicing at the same time as them. And then he starts to like extrapolate, you know, if I'm practicing twice, two times as much as you're practicing over this many days, and starts to extrapolate how like when he steps on the floor, someone that he's competing against, he has such a high volume of reps beyond what they have that there's a greater likelihood he's going to win because he's already done more than they have. And so it's similar, you know, with what you're saying about Steph Curry. I mean, it's not a coincidence that guys with like that kind of work ethic or willingness to sacrifice in different ways to be as advanced as they are in their field end up being the ones that, you know, you talk about like this.
Yeah. I think that when you really think about proactivity, if you are not inspired to produce for something that you're working on or working within, chances are either you've spread yourself too thin or it's not interesting enough for you to actually pursue. Like, that's the way I would look at it.
Yeah, one thing that we've talked about a lot recently too, and I think that, you know, just sticking with the Steph Curry thing, because I was actually just listening to a podcast where they kind of talked about the way that he carries himself as a professional as well. And the one thing that you always see is that it looks like he's having fun. Always looks like he's having fun. And as like a layman's person, you know, stepping on a basketball court, if I could do what Steph Curry could do, I would assume that I would also always be having fun. But like, there's plenty of people that are at peak of their powers as athletes or in any field, and they just like look like they're not enjoying themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's actually the case or if that's just kind of like the perception that you get. But, you know, something that we continue to talk about is just it's so important that for everything that we discuss about how stressful business can be and, you know, and this and that, that seem like, oh, that's a lot. There has to be many moments of brevity along the way so that you are consistently motivated to just enjoy what you're doing. And so he kind of personifies that too, which is cool because you get the hard work and you get like the playfulness.
I mean, I kind of boil it down to one phrase. And I really do believe it. And it doesn't mean that I say if it's not fun, fuck it. I believe that. That doesn't mean that it's always going to be easy. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be moments that are incredibly stressful. But I have so much fun building this business with you. Like, I have so much fun. I literally wake up every day, and I know this is kind of annoying to say because like it would be better if I didn't wake up every day like excited to open up the computer, but I do. I wake up every single day literally excited to see what is happening when I open up the computer so that I can get into the weeds and start doing it, right?
Yeah.
And for me, that's the practice. That's practice, right? That's like showing up and practicing, and that's my 500 shots, right? Like every single day, I'm gonna be in there, I'm having a good time, I'm communicating with people. Sometimes there's drama. You know, there's always drama is also a big piece of it, right? Like having to, you know, I think if there's not like a hunter instinct in you where you wanna get in there and you wanna find the golden goose, you know? Entrepreneurship is definitely not for you.
Yeah. And also, like the way that you phrased that kind of position, like fun and hard, you know, like those two things are not opposite from each other. You know, like we talked about 75 hard last time. I recently had a conversation with someone where they were like, oh, come on, like live a little, you know, because I'm obviously not drinking and I'm sticking to a diet. And for me, like I kind of am, right? Like that is my version of having fun, just kind of seeing how I can push myself or doing something difficult. And so.
And you look lean as hell, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You do. You're handsome. You're lean. Yeah. I mean, you've lost some weight, right?
Yeah, I've lost like 6 pounds. I'm probably in a significant caloric deficit every day. I'm starving. No, that it's been a cool thing. I mean, you know, but point being, like, there's components of it that I'm having fun doing because it is hard. And there's other things that it's like, I know I'm not going to carry forward because, or things that I know that I'm doing wrong. Like, and I'm going to kind of tie it back to meal one a little bit. But even having worked out historically, and I've never been like the biggest person in terms of diving into macros and nutrition and understanding how to like fuel appropriately. But, you know, as I've continued with, as 75 hard has been going on, it has for me not just been like 45 done. I've actually kind of the indoor workout of lifting, you and Christian Harris kind of convinced me to do his program that he has. And I've been pushing myself a lot harder than I was prior to 75 hard. And I can also feel like I'm probably not fueling myself the right way. And so I told you this story, I think over the weekend or maybe earlier this week, but I went for a run outside with my brother when I was home, and I made a concerted effort to have meal one beforehand, because when we were together at Wadapalooza, you kind of framed something very simply to me when we were about to go for a run that just made it click for me what fuel I needed in advance of that activity. And when I'm running for 45 minutes, I'm usually not like pushing hard. I'm doing like 3.5 miles maybe. Mm-hmm. And that run, we did 5 miles with a lot of hills, and maybe from like mile 3 to 5, I felt like I had just got warmed up. And part of that was probably because it was cold outside, but part of it was also because I had had meal one beforehand and I had fueled appropriately. And so that's something that just like, I don't know why it never clicked for me like that, but in that moment it kind of did. And, you know, I learned that through pushing myself to do some harder things.
I'm going to talk about something that we didn't even discuss talking about on the podcast, but you know what? I think it's probably worth talking about because, you know, we talk about what we're thinking about, the conversations that we're having internally. So Jonathan said to me, shot me an email. He shot me an email saying, I want you to think about something. What do you think about changing the name of Meal One to Creatures Oats? And I didn't respond to that email right away because my gut instinct immediately when I read that was no fucking way. But I know myself at this point. And so if I live in a reactionary way, I don't give myself an opportunity to really appreciate and or let something ruminate enough to actually make a calculated decision or response. And so I gave myself the weekend, and then Jonathan and I were talking yesterday, and he said, hey, like, have you thought about that? And I thought a lot about it. And I am still on the fence, but ultimately I am leaning more towards wanting to do it. And interestingly, right before this podcast, I had another founder on the podcast who's a big fan of the brand. And every single time we brought up Creatures of Habit, he didn't say meal one. He didn't say Creatures of Habit. He said Creatures. And mm-hmm. I was just like, bing. He did it again. Bing. Creatures.
Yeah.
Creatures. And in my mind, I'm like, it is Creatures.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought it up because that's probably a good example too of what we kind of led off with being proactive and it being a thought starter. I don't even know if I'm sold on that idea as much as like it makes sense logically to me why that could be a fit and be better long term. But I, and that's where when you say that, right, I then wonder if someone is already saying creatures, right, and it's currently called Meal One, does changing the name on the packaging matter? If the brand is already synonymous with the product, mm-hmm. right? And or are we just going to like the expression I used, I mean, this probably isn't the right one because we're not on the Titanic, but it's like reshuffling the chairs on the Titanic, right? It's like you're not actually making progress. You're just like making changes that feel like progress.
And here's the main reason why I actually appreciate it more now than when I had first read it is when somebody sees Meal One on the website and they don't take the time to read all the other stuff around the packaging, mm-hmm. potentially, and it's not like they heard, you know, and maybe they didn't hear word of mouth or, you know, potentially they just don't know what it is, right? And so if you see something that says Creatures Oats and then 30 grams of protein and then overnight oats right underneath it, it's going to be hard to not be able to distinguish exactly what that product is, right? And so as we evolve, you know, we went from the protagonist to Meal One. Is there a chance that we go from Meal One to Creatures Oats? Potentially. I think it would be great, though, for anybody listening to this podcast who has some thought on that. It would be awesome if you DM'd me and, you know, drop some thought there, because, you know, I'm becoming way more warm to it. Did we talk about the other thing or no?
I don't think that we have.
So there's another product that we're working on. And I'll kind of leave it at that. But that product is going to be called, it's going to lead with Creatures.
Right. There's some broader things that are part of the consideration here, right? So Meal One as a standalone name is, both words are very generic, right? So we've also had the conversation around where, you know, any direct, not direct to the site, but any search traffic, searching for Meal One is really hard to compete on because it's just so, they're very commonly used words and they're not something that you can trademark and defend, anything like that. You know, on the other hand, like Nightcap, the way that it's spelled is like uniquely identified, but it's the same thing where you don't necessarily know offhand based on the name what you're going to get, mm-hmm. right? And that's something where it's hard to say whether or not, you know, no one would have known that Kleenex meant you were getting a tissue until it became synonymous with tissues, mm-hmm. right? And so there, I don't know that there's a right answer as much as if you market the right way and educate the right way, you can get away with either.
Well, a lot of brands do it, right? A lot of brands have a parent name of the company, right? Like a umbrella name of the company. And then their individual, and this happens a lot in supplements and also in, like, you know, I use the example of like lesser evil, like healthier snacks, right? Like healthier chips, healthier popcorn. You know, it's not lesser evil popcorn. It's lesser evil Himalayan and sweet, or, you know, naming the kind of like what the product is, like the flavor. A lot of supplement companies will name their pre-workout or name their post-workout, name their intro workout. They'll name their, you know, whatever. So there is companies that think about it both ways. And just based on the sort of direction of the conversation that we're having, mm-hmm. we haven't made a good claim for why we should keep Meal One. It's all sort of laying out the pros of making the change. Yep. So I love the fact that we can talk about it in this format because, you know, I'm sure that there are some people listening that'll you know, have mixed feelings. And I love, you know, Meal One, such a great, I mean, I think Meal One's a great name. I feel like it's a great name for the product that we sell. But I'm also, you know, convincing myself that simplifying it, aligning it, keeping it concise across the board could be a great way forward. So I just wanted to bring that one up because I think that's a real topic for us.
Yeah, I think it's also something that's important to think about because of how inconvenient it is to do, right? Because the natural inclination would be like, do you really want to go down and voluntarily sign up for redoing all the design work on the packaging, updating all the photography on the site, changing the naming and all the email flows, all for the
changing
same
the name
for the same exact product, but having to do all of that because of what you think it could mean long term for the business. It's like, again, to signing up for hard or inconvenient things, it could be the right path, even though it feels like that's such a pain in the ass.
Well, at the end of the day, there's no doubt about it. Like, do I think it's going to move the needle for us necessarily on direct-to-consumer sales? No, I don't think it's going to move the needle. Do I think that – I mean, maybe in search, right? Like, who knows how many people are searching for Meal One. But do I think once we, you know, down the road decide to step into retail, do I think it'll move the needle? Without a doubt. I think it'll be way more prominent or way more accessible when someone sees Creatures Oats than Meal One, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I also like – I personally, I think that it's not even a comparison what we're putting out there versus Quaker. But the fact that, you know, I used like the Kleenex example. Like if you say Quaker, no one's sitting here going like, what's that?
Right.
Right. And so the fact that like Creatures Oats and Quaker Oats just roll off the tongue, like Creatures Oats rolls off the tongue because Quaker Oats is already a household thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't really want to be like in the same ballpark as them in terms of the quality of the product and what we're putting out because it's drastically different. But leveraging some of the awareness that they've already created is great.
Interrupting this episode to share with you how we keep this podcast going, and that is by you supporting us through trying out or subscribing to Meal One on creaturesofhabit.com. I am giving a 20% discount on your first order or your first subscription order, which is a serious discount. Meal One is a superfood meal. It is a blend of gluten and glyphosate-free oats. It is packed with 30 grams of plant-based protein, omega-3 fatty acids, a probiotic, digestive enzymes, vitamin D3. It also has chia seeds, flax seeds, pumpkin seeds, and a little bit of pink Himalayan salt. There are 37 grams of healthy carbohydrates and anywhere from 7 to 10 grams of fat, depending on the flavor. You will be full for hours, people. I promise you, we developed Meal One to help you perform at your absolute best, to get that incredibly healthy and convenient edge on the competition. There is not a better, more convenient meal to start your day with or use as a pre- or post-workout meal. The macros are perfect and sourced with the cleanest ingredients in the game. Take your performance to the next level. Make your life much easier by saving time. Be able to eat healthy without sacrificing flavor, and all while staying full for hours, making your urge to snack far, far less. Hop over to creaturesofhabit.com. That is creaturesofhabit.com. And use promo code KOHPOD, the number 20, for your first order of Meal One today. Back to the pod.
All right. So what else? We were starting to think about bringing more in-house people into the company as opposed to agencies. I mean, we talked two episodes ago about eliminating some agency stuff and you and I absorbing that work. And now we're thinking about a couple of different ways that we can enhance the brand. And we sat down at VaynerMedia 3 weeks ago. Gary V in VaynerMedia. Gary's an investor in Creatures of Habit, and he gave us an opportunity to meet with his team, really sort of do a deep dive on the brand and walk away with some potential tactics for us to implement. And one of them was to really start thinking about bringing someone in-house to manage our organic social. And I would argue that's probably the next big hire that we would do, because really when you're a digital brand, there's not that many ways to communicate with your customers, right? It's emails, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of emails. I mean, we actually have a pretty successful email open rate. I think we're at like a 50% open rate.
Yeah.
But it's just hard to communicate. And the number one way, I think, to communicate to our customer is not via email, but we would be able to communicate far better if we had like a very, very strong strategic organic social media plan. And right now we're out there. I mean, we've got 45,000 Instagram followers, and you know, that's pretty good for a company of our age and size. And you know, we're not a human, we're a brand, right? So like a brand with 40 something thousand is pretty good. But the posting is not telling the real story of Creatures of Habit, and I feel like it's hard to find an agency that's going to be able to dedicate the amount of time to really tell the story of the brand and connect with people constantly. Somebody, you know, like there's some brands that I'll like post about or I'll tag, and boom, immediately they're right back in the DM. Mm-hmm. You know, immediately. And that makes me feel good, like right out the gate, you know. And if it's a brand that I work with, I'm like, awesome, they're killing it. If it's a brand that I don't work with but I just love and they communicate with me, it makes me feel like they're actually seeing me, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you said we're a brand, not necessarily a human, but I think the where we're uniquely positioned is, and why I love the business, is because I think it should be a very humanized brand because of how personal the story is as to why it exists. And so we probably can do a better job of humanizing on platform, right? And like it's, we currently are more product heavy and kind of marketing what we're selling. But there's so much more that the brand would represent in terms of values and what it's trying to promote within the community that we should be a part of the conversation on. And the biggest thing for, I'm less in tune. Like I don't use the platforms as actively personally. And so I'm a little less in tune as to what would really drive there. But the one thing that I also think is a huge benefit is just the speed at which you can test things. And someone who is being proactive about thinking about things to test, right? Like it would be amazing just to show up on at a meeting and it's like you find out over last week, it's like I did X, Y, Z things because this was my hypothesis for why X, Y, or Z may or may not work in this manner. And this is what I learned. And now we're going to keep doing X and there's going to be another thing that we test going forward.
And yeah, like, and you would assume that anything that does really well, like exponentially better than other pieces of content in organic is resonating with our people. Right? Mm-hmm. Like it's resonating with the people, the community. So that's probably a piece of content that you would want to repurpose for ads.
Right? And it's a volume game, right? The more, like to what we were talking about earlier in terms of number of shots, but the more that you're putting out there, the faster that you're going to be able to learn, the faster that you're going to be able to either, you know, spend against those learnings or deploy further. So to what you said about like, this is really the position that we're identifying where like, you know, if we're going to invest capital into headcount, where's the greatest return going to be felt? It feels like it has to be here.
Mm-hmm. I also think like, you know, sort of dissecting Gary V's process a little bit, you know, he's been saying forever, content, 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 20 pieces, 30 pieces, 50 pieces,
yeah,
content out. And what he's trying to tell you is the more content that you create, the easier it will be to see what content resonates, right? Like if you post once a week, you've got 52 shots to see if something resonates. If you post twice a week, you have 104. You post three times a week, you got 306. You post 30 times a week, you are going to be able to really extrapolate what is actually engaging. And then you can post 300 times with that engaging content. And that's how you drive. So it's not just, and I think what Gary's trying to tell everyone for years is not that, oh yeah, you know, like get, you know, just get in front of people's faces all the time and like be in their feed constantly. It's about actually trying to figure out what works and what doesn't work, you know?
Yeah. And I think that that tightening that feedback loop is always where you find the advantages, right? So if you think about the way that social platforms and where marketing is now, you have such an opportunity to tighten that feedback loop because you can literally, like, you can pick up your, you probably, you, I looked at a story before that you had done where Manny was sitting right here from Slate and like you put it out, right? And that was it. If you wanted to go develop a new product and see if people liked it, you know how long that would take to, for that feedback loop to develop, right? And so it's readily available to you to continue to push out and learn very quickly. There's no reason to not. Like the reason why I'm not a social media person from a professional standpoint is because I would want to strategize too much, right? It wouldn't be in my nature to just quickly push stuff out and see what hits. because I'd overthink what would potentially hit. And that's where I think someone's going to come in and just be like, fuck it, I'm going to spray in a bunch of different areas and I'm going to find out pretty quickly what works.
Well, I think that's also probably why you and I work so well together. Yeah. Because I'm just like, and you're like, whoa, slow down. So I think that that's a great partnership if you guys can respect each other for each other's, you know, respective roles. What else do we want to talk about?
Well, we got a bit away from product, but I think it would be good to talk about kind of our early goings with our new manufacturer and things that we've experienced. And I can kind of dive into it a little bit, but and we're actually shortly going to go and visit them and, you know, just take a look at the product and see if there's ways to make it better and enhance it so that we can continue to deliver just an elevated experience for people. But we learned a bunch in our December and January production run based on the equipment that they're running on and, you know, where certain design needs to be on our die lines to kind of get that even tighter, because there was things that we noticed that we were like, okay, if we want to show up in a quality way, we don't want, you know, this to overlap on this line here, and all of this should continue to be tightened up. So, you know, I think it's very on brand for us to continue to push to be better. I don't know that it'll ever be perfect, but we'll consistently be looking at it, and both from how it presents as a physical product and then the experience from a taste and consistency standpoint, always be iterating to make it better. So, I mean, that's everything, right? At the end of the day, that is what we're selling. So
I'm excited to go out there and work with the team in the lab and have all of the already existing flavor profiles and flavors out. And then those guys are taking a stab at just trying to make it better, right? Mm-hmm. And who knows if we make any changes. We might go out there and not make a single change. But I do think that never not iterating is the way to be. I think that we are going to constantly iterate and constantly try to make things better. You know, like I would love to say that the transition to a new manufacturer was seamless and easy and stress-free.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's always going to be bumps, right? And so I think that we've navigated through the majority of the bumps in the last few months. And now we have a really good communication tech, you know, style. And we think that, you know, the there's no doubt, like the changeover to the new manufacturer is a step up for us. The machinery is brand new. You know, it literally, they have a machine, a big machine, big, expensive, crazy machine that is dedicated to Creatures of Habit.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're sort of in this place now. So now we understand how to run the machine. We know what kind of packaging needs to get put on that machine to make it as close to perfect as possible. And now the guys are like, man, this stuff tastes really good. We think we can make it better. So in my mind, I'm like, let's go. Like I want everybody that tastes meal one for the first time to be like, this is it. I'm hooked. I'm hooked, you know? So we're going to go out there. We're going to taste a bunch of different flavor profiles. We're going to try a couple of new things that we've never tried before and see if we can just be better for the community. You know?
Yeah, and in terms of getting feedback from people, I think anything product related that we see that comes through that's as feedback from customers, I mean, we all read it, and you know, some of it is so specific that it's not something that you can satisfy everyone, and you just kind of have to deal with that. But you know, we definitely see it. So if there's things that people think could be iterated on, they should also let us know that. The one thing that I always find funny, just product specific, is a lot of people will give the feedback of like it's very filling or too filling, as if, and I wanted to update our flow on our back end for this, but like we intentionally go with 30, 32 grams of protein because it's the right macro split for kind of what we're targeting, but like there is no requirement to eat it all in one sitting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the strangest thing to me when people are like, oh, yeah, it's just like filled me up too much. It's like, well, you're not required to eat all of it if you don't want in one sitting. But because I say that because I'm anticipating that we'll get some feedback that are like, oh, have you ever considered coming out with like a light version? You know, that's 15 grams of protein or mm-hmm. 20 grams of protein. So Just something that is top of mind right now because I've heard that a couple of times.
I mean, there's no doubt about it. Like when I put my sister on the meal one plan, when she first started eating it, she was like, there's no way I can eat this whole thing. And I was like, okay, so don't eat half now and you know, half before you work out and half after you work out. And now my sister's like, I can't, I need more, you know, like and the cool thing about meal one for a lot of people, you know, our core demographic is definitely people that are already getting after it at a pretty significant clip, and they want something that's convenient and gets them the macros that they are after in a tasty way without having to think about it, right? Like that's sort of like the core.
Yeah.
The core of our demo is like, they're not looking to necessarily change their lifestyle. They're just like, hey, how can I make my lifestyle more convenient, more, you know, more palatable and easier,
mm-hmm.
And more efficient. And so there's another whole cohort of people though that I get emails from, that are a big part of our demo that say, meal one's changed my whole entire perspective on my nutrition. Like I start my day with meal one every day and, you know, it fills me up and I'm like, it makes me want to make better decisions, you know? And my sister, for instance, is one of them, right? Like, it's kind of funny. I founded the company. She had tried it a couple of times, but she was never a meal one-er, you know? And once...
That's not going to flow well either with Creatures Oats.
Yeah, that's
Creatures
true.
Creatures Oats, sir.
That's the first time I think I've ever said that. but it flowed off the tongue. So she wasn't a meal one-er, meaning she didn't have it every single day. And now that she has it every single day as her first meal of the day, she's like, I don't know what I did without this. You know, like it literally, I can't say meal one changed my whole life. But if I look at my life on a daily basis, I start my day with meal one every single day and I'm down 40 pounds and my decisions have just gotten way better over the last year. And so, you know, I think, you know, though we don't necessarily focus our energy on trying to help people lose weight, if you can eat a 350 calorie meal in the beginning of your day that's got 30 grams of protein, a perfect carbohydrate and fat split with 10 grams of fiber, 350 calories, and you're like full, well, we just really helped you. You know, like that's like most people for breakfast either don't have it because mm-hmm. they're like trying to lose weight and they're like, oh, if I just skip breakfast, I'll, you know, it'll make my weight loss journey easier. Or the people that are not looking to necessarily lose weight but don't know what to have for breakfast in the morning, specifically, how do I make a healthy meal for breakfast? I got to cook eggs. I got to do all this cooking, da, da, da. Like, you know, it is really just like a game changer. It's a game changer for that crew of people, right? Because when you start, you know, I kind of correlate it to, I've said this before, but like if you think about it like a race, you know, and you're on that start line, and you got your hands on the line, you know, your knee is down, your head is down, and you hear the person that's firing off the gun say, ready, you lift your knee up, your kind of head goes up, set, and then pow, that gun goes off, and you trip right away. Trip. Everybody else is gone. You trip. The chances of you catching up and winning that race are like slim to none. And I kind of think about that in how I start my day with decisions. If I start my day when I hear that ready, set, I look up, and I am off that line, I've got a good shot at winning. But if I hear that ready, set, and I'm not paying attention, and I hit snooze, and I roll over, and I grab my phone, and I get caught in a spiral, that's me tripping, dude. That's me tripping. And like, you know, meal one is a symbol of like, hey, stay on your feet. Stay on your feet, you know.
Yeah. I mean, not nourishing appropriately is like lining up for that race with your shoes untied. Like you're going to lose. And it's crazy to me, I shouldn't say it's crazy because it's actually, it makes perfect sense. There's so many people that don't understand at all the difference between properly nourishing and fueling yourself versus lack thereof, right? Like not eating breakfast versus eating meal one, how different that is for your body throughout the course of the day. And I think it's even worse now, you know, I was reading just before this about like Wegovy and Mounjaro and all these weight loss drugs that are absolutely destroying right now. And they're kind of shortcuts to weight loss, but largely a lack of nourishment. You know, there's a lot that comes with that that's probably not healthy and sustainable for you long term. I'm by no means a doctor, but there's choices that you can make with products that you can consume that position you better to win that race.
Yeah, the meal one is not a Band-Aid. Meal one is a solution, right? And like, yeah. I think those things that you're talking about, the Ozempics and stuff like that, like they, not taking away from the fact that they've helped a shit ton of people.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if you stop taking Ozempic, you will put the weight right back on. It's,
yeah. It's Peter Attia has done some awesome, he's obviously super technical on his podcast, The Drive, but he's gone down the path of looking at with his patients and documenting how the decrease in muscle mass associated with that is significant when like you're losing weight, but you might not be losing it in a way that's like good for your long-term health.
Yeah.
So to your point, right, there's certain use cases for that, which are like a miracle in terms of science. And then there's kind of like the mainstream view of it as an appetite suppressant and weight loss that is like kind of scary. Yeah. But yeah, it took us a little bit down.
I think, you know, we talked about Creatures Oats. We talked about the, you know, sort of potentially iterating on all the different flavors to enhance the flavor profiles, make them potentially, you know, a smidge better than they are now, moving some ingredients around potentially. And new co-man and bringing some more people in-house to help us really, you know, focus on areas that we think we could be better at. Still raising money. We're, you know, I'm feeling pretty optimistic about it, but we're definitely still raising money. So anybody listening to this podcast wants to kick a couple of bucks into Creatures of Habit, just hit the kid on the hip. But we're still doing that. I know we'll get there. It's not happening in our time, but patience is, you know, a virtue, right? So so there's that. And what am I missing?
As of recent, we kind of updated our card experience on the site, which I'm excited about. I think it's a much smoother checkout for customers and more customizable for them. So we're excited to see how that performs. Kind of little iterations like that that probably can move the needle in certain places that we want to, you know, you've always talked about kind of like lifting up rocks. And I think like that's an example of something that's super small that potentially we could find something underneath that is
find that spotted salamander,
very rewarding for us. So I'm excited to see how that performs. And it's also probably good to just use this as an accountability platform. I want to make sure that by the time that this comes out, that we have some sort of referral program in place that existing customers can recommend product to other people, get some sort of kickback, like a standard referral program, or maybe we get a little bit more creative with it. But, you know, something that is going to be in your email as well to the community about, you know, the power of word of mouth and the trust that comes with someone that you know and have seen live a certain way recommend something to you. You know, it doesn't have to be something that is like performance focused. Could be a restaurant, like you've mentioned, or a show, whatever it might be. But I think that that's something that fits very well within what we're building. And so something I've probably dragged my feet on getting deployed. And I think we've got to prioritize that.
Okay. I like that. I think that's kind of it, man. I think, you know, we covered a lot of stuff. I'm very optimistic, visionary human being sitting across from me right here. You know, I just can't wait to be able to listen to these podcasts in 3 years from now and see what we're navigating at 2 years in to where we'll be at 5-6 years in. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's very cool. I mean, it's like a digital journaling. Yeah. It's awesome.
A yearbook, you know. We'll be doing 750 hard at that point. Jonathan will be a twig. You know, it'll be called Creatures Meal One Oats Protagonists. And yeah, you know, it's fun times. So, one other thing that I'm going to mention that I think is a cool thing to mention is Lance Armstrong is also an investor in Creatures of Habit. And Lance and I have developed a really cool relationship. And he's got a podcast network called We Do Productions. And we are going to join forces and become part of the We Do family with the Creatures of Habit podcast. So I'm really excited for that to happen. That'll be happening maybe by the time this podcast comes out. That will have happened. So that's pretty exciting. I'm pretty stoked on that. Lance Armstrong is just he's obviously one of the world's best athletes ever, and he's also just like a really, really great person. And I feel so grateful that I've been able to meet him, connect with him, develop a relationship with him, and that, you know, he finds this interesting enough to be part of his world.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing. I mean, for me, it's been fun to kind of watch you and that relationship evolve. It's the right kind of fit for the brand, at least without me knowing him personally, but just kind of what it seems that he's about. It seems like it
you love
sense.
You know, like I wrote the weekly email newsletter in part because of my recent relationships with both Lance Armstrong and Jen Cohen, mm-hmm. and seeing how fruitful relationship development is, not only for me personally or for anyone personally that focuses on making it a priority to develop relationships with new people, but relationship development has been sort of at the core, I think, of my success over the years as an entrepreneur. I really, really find great joy and gratitude from just, and it doesn't have to be a celebrity or a famous person. You know, like if you go to an event with me, I literally am talking to every single person because mm-hmm. I have learned that the more people you connect with, the more life you get to experience, right? It just is true. And the more stories you're able to tell. And so, you know, I like, it's just felt so good to find a few people over the last few months that like I really connected with. Like I really, like, same interests, same philosophy in life. Like, you know, obviously different levels of career and success, but like really just there's something so special about developing relationships. And for us as a business, one of my number one priorities as the founder of the company is to really develop the relationship with not only our community but the individuals within the Creatures of Habit community. I take it super seriously. I mm-hmm. really, really love doing it. And so, you know, if anybody listening to this podcast is trying to figure out a new angle in their business or a new way to get out of their shell, think about carving out a little time, intentional time, to try and develop a new relationship. You know, try and develop a new relationship. In the beginning of January 2023, I made a decision that I wanted to stop allowing Instagram or social media to use me, meaning take time out of my life that I'm scrolling on the shit and not really getting anything done, and flip it on its head and use social media for like the initial purpose of what it was to do, which was allow people to connect digitally. Didn't have to be in person. You can meet way more people. Yeah. And so I started DMing anyone who I thought was interesting on social media. And I did it every day. Half of the podcast guests that have been on the Creatures That Have a Podcast have come out of that initiative for me. Like literally spending an hour having a templated DM in my words that I would wanna say, but I didn't mm-hmm. wanna like write it every time. So I made a template and I just, boom, sent it out to 10, 15 people that I wanted to connect with. Not everybody got back to me, but a fair amount of them did. And I've got great relationships now because of it. And every time I see people at a, you know, like we were at that event down in, we were at that PR event, you know, whatever, at, mm-hmm. at whatever that PR event was. Like, I knew half the people, if not more of the people that were there, only on social media. When I went down to Georgia for the Running Man event, I'm telling you, man, like, I felt like I knew everyone there because I'm proactive on social media. I'd never met those people before in person. So anyway.
Well, let me just add to that, because you did write in one of the your weekly emails at one point, and that you focused a lot on just using social media as a platform to connect. But you kind of told a story about a guy at the gym that you were like, oh, I've never said what's up to him, but I've always thought like maybe I should say what's up to him. And just to realize the impact that you can have. Like, I had that exact experience the other day, and I don't think that I would have spoken to that person had it not been kind of in my head that, like, you had already done that, you know? And it's like, there's no benefit to you of me going and talking to that person. And I don't know, like, what that, you know, it could just be like, now there's just some guy at the gym that I see all the time that I say, hey, or like, I see him at the coffee shop near me and like, say, what's up? But like, it's gratifying. You know, it's and it's harder and harder to do probably in person, because even when people are in person now, they're looking at social media. But I just wanted to comment on that. This is, it's like a kudos to you for the messaging that you put out actually impacting the way that other people live. But then also, you know, the importance of kind of having a balance of in-person communication and also having a presence on social media where the scale of it is much, much easier.
You know, we'll finish with this. One thing that I used to do, I worked at a restaurant for years before I opened up the meatball shop. And it was a major regulars restaurant. Like, I'm talking about regulars where it was 80% regulars. Mm-hmm. 3 days a week, 4 days a week, 5 days a week, people coming and sitting at the bar with me and eating with me. And there were times where I'd be like sitting there and I'm like, hold a second. Sal sitting at the bar, the seat nine at the bar, always sits at seat nine at the bar. And John sitting at seat four always comes in and sits at seat four. Sal and John, they're here all the time, but they never have talked. Yeah. They've never. So I was like, Sal, John, you guys fucking connect, you know? And before I knew it, Sal and John are now sitting next to each other 3 days a week, buddies, having the salmon with capers and arugula, you know? Like, they ate the same fucking thing too. You know what I mean? It's like humans, unlike any other species, right? Outside of, you know, really funny. I know we're rambling here, but it's just kind of funny. Like, I love hunting. I love hunting. And I always thought that, like, you know, humans, dolphins, apes are like community oriented animals, right? But not most animals in the wild are solo animals, right? Like, even if they roll in packs, like, they tend to like stick to themselves mm-hmm. a bit. Something that I did not know. Squirrels
okay.
are the most communicative. They, and I only learned this through being out in the woods hunting. Mm-hmm. Squirrels play games with each other for hours.
Oh yeah.
It's amazing. I didn't know it. I was like, so it, like, literally I'm sitting there.
You grew up in the city.
Right.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Right. I grew up in the city. Right. Like, rats definitely, you know, that like, like, I don't know if rats talk to each other, but I do know that sitting there and listening to these squirrels chase each other and like hang out and like scream and yell at each other, jump from tree to tree branch. It was just unbelievable. I'm saying to myself, this is the most fun that these animals have. Communicating, hanging out, running around, screaming, yelling. Like, you know, our beings were meant to connect. Fucking meant to connect.
Yeah.
Jay Yarms, I love you, man. I'm so happy and lucky to be doing this with you, dude. I am really, you know, I you know what? I got to do this again because I've done this before, but I'm going to do this because I think it's important. I think,
oh boy,
I'm going to do a
text message here.
Yeah, I'm going to read a text message that Jonathan wrote me the other day. And
we should preface it with, I have a lot of, is adoration the right word?
For
you. but I'm not great at communicating it. Like you've said to me once, you were like, you know, I've said I love you a couple times and you never say I love you back. And I'm like, is that true? And you're like, yeah, sometimes you don't say it.
Well, look, I do love the guy. And it was last Saturday and I was just like sitting here being, you know, feeling like kind of grateful for my life and like where I am in the life cycle. And I just, you know, Jonathan came up. And I'm like, man, I'm so lucky to have a partner like John. And so I just wrote him, hey, just wanted to say I appreciate you, brother. I hope you're having an awesome Saturday. And then a few hours later, he wrote, honestly, man, words cannot describe how grateful I am for your belief in me and the ease we have and the ease with which you push me to be better just by being you. I was out on a run yesterday and at one point just found myself overcome with emotion just thinking about it. And I oftentimes find myself wondering how I ended up so fortunate for us to have been connected in the first place. Sometimes I see it as divine intervention, and other times I see it as the fruits of putting my head down and always trying to do things the right way, even when it seems impossible or isn't appreciated. Whatever the reason, I'm very fucking lucky. Much love for you, MC.
Bro, literally, like, I read that, and I was just like, I'm the luckiest guy alive. Really. I that, so anybody listening, you know, no matter how hard you think it is, no matter how hard it feels, no matter how many people tell you it's impossible, no matter how many people want to shut you down and think your idea is not a winner, surround yourself with great fucking people. Surround yourself with great people that believe in you and that will support you and carry you. That text that I just read between Jonathan and I, it's not a unique thing. That happens regularly. The two of us really do believe that we have something special and something special with each other. And, you know, it's a fucking real thing. And we're, you know, like, being an entrepreneur and creating a business and having the audacity to think that your idea is going to, you know, motivate people to want to spend money or your idea is going to change someone's life, maybe change lots of people's lives. Like, that takes a lot of balls, right? And
there's a lot more that you can take from a job than just salary.
100%. There's nothing else I'd rather be doing in my life right now. Nothing else. I genuinely believe that I am like so goddamn lucky that I found this dude, that we've created this cool business, you know, that's given me an opportunity to bang my head against the wall and try harder and take risks and, you know, throw my ego out the window and all sorts of shit, man. So if you're like me and you're out there getting after it and or you're like us and you want to, you know, you're trying to make the most of life and take risks and be held accountable to your decision making, I commend you. And if you want to be in this seat, I urge you to do so. Because who knows whether this is a one time around the sun kind of thing. But it's worth every single second if you do it right. Surround yourself with great people.
And there you have it, folks. I hope we delivered some valuable content for you to implement into your life on a daily basis. Please remember that our habits have the power to make us or break us. Replacing bad habits with great ones is the answer to living a life of happiness, optimism, and high performance. We are capable of achieving anything. We all have what it takes to give it all we've got. Commit to one great habit each day and truly commit and watch how everything in your life starts evolving from good to great. If you enjoyed this podcast, please follow us wherever you listen to your podcast. Give us a 5-star rating and a nice review that will help us grow this podcast, bring on more amazing guests, and continue to deliver invaluable content on a weekly basis. Lastly, please share this podcast with any friends or family that you think might appreciate it. And always remember, want plus do equals have. Until the next one, fam, peace.